Well, I gotta say, I'm very thankful to be able to say Shabbat Shalom today. It is our first time in 2020.
Oh,
yeah.
We can see it.
It's been a pretty rough start to the year for me. I wouldn't recommend to anybody to get two different types of flu back to black. Maybe I ought to take a drink of water. I will say, I lost about 10 pounds in the process.
Yep.
It's been kind of a struggle to get my strength back. You know, I did her bathroom. I didn't tell you guys this. I did her bathroom on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And, it was a whole day's work. But it's not like I ran a marathon or anything. It was just a day's work, right? I came home, and I couldn't keep my eyes open after dinner. I ended up going to bed an hour and a half early. Bottom line is, I slept 11 hours that night. So clearly, my physical strength and endurance has not totally come back. Today, before we jump back into our World Watch series, I want to talk a bit this afternoon about a different kind of strength. An inner strength that can literally stand against anything. I mean, wouldn't you like to have that, something like that? Think about a minute about being able to exist totally devoid of any debilitating fear. And notice I didn't say no fear, okay? Fear is normal. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is moving forward even though there is fear, in the face of fear. Courage allows you to not stop because of this fear. And so how is that possible? And that's the kind of strength, the inner strength that I want to talk about today. This confidence and security. You see, when you know, and you know that you know, that God loves you and His securely in His hands is your eternity, right? Then there isn't anything in this physical life that should give us any debilitating fear, anything that would stop us from not having the courage, because it takes courage to live a godly life in an ungodly world. Because when you live that life, you are going to have some fear, because you are going to be confronting, in many cases, an entire society, a way of life. So there is fear there. And so you have to have that courage to be able to press forward in spite of that fear. Okay, so, Romans 8:11 says that if God is for us, who can be against us, right? That God that is for us, it's like I was praying here a few moments ago. He's the one that created everything. This God that is for us has a mind that thought up all of this intricate detail. The things, the invisible things that bond the universe together, the seeds, DNA, all of these things. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that has our eternity in His hands. When you think of His mind and power, it's almost unfathomable. That's the God, right? And it's that's a fact. That's that fact that should give us great joy and an inner strength that will give us the courage to follow Him at all costs in the face of fear, in the face of circumstances that we may not like. And see, this is why God inspired Nehemiah to say this: do not sorrow. And here's our anchor scripture for today: the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God is telling us here that the source of our strength is not just Him, it is Him, but the joy of Him is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now that's an interesting concept if you really stop and think about it. Because from a strictly logical perspective, right, one can accept the fact that all of our strength, everything, all of our strength comes from Him. I mean, we take in breath that He provides. We eat food that He provides. We have an intemperate environment that He provides. Gravity holds us down. Everything, you know, that we have that comes into us, that our bodies that He provides uses to make energy that allows us to have life. Everything that we have because of Him. And if He ceases to provide it, guess what? We cease to exist. And so it's easy to say, yeah, the Lord is the source of our strength, because we have no strength without Him, right? But we're talking about something different. We're talking about inner strength. We're talking about spiritual strength. I like to say intestinal fortitude, right? The inner strength to press forward even when the physical strength wanes. This is the strength that some of our brothers and sisters that have gone before us had when they faced lions, when they faced beheadings, when they got burned at the stake, when they were crucified, and a host of other persecutions. In our World Watch series, we're talking a lot now about the end of the age, a time I believe that we are seeing the very beginning formation of. It's developing right before our eyes. So while this message may seem like a break in that series, it's really perfect to be embedded right in the middle of it. Because there is no better time than right now to be figuring out what sort of strength that these martyrs had, because we're going to need it too. And your Bible says that that inner strength came and comes from joy. It says it comes from the joy of the Lord. So it would seem pretty important then to know the source of this sort of joy, wouldn't it? To have that joy, to live in and exist within the peace of that sort of joy. And then to have the strength, the courage that comes from that. Now, as we move forward today and talk about this joy, I want you to realize that when we say joy, it's not fun. I'm not talking about happiness. Because you see, this kind of joy is not contingent upon anything external. Circumstances do not dictate this joy. It's this sort of inner joy, inner confidence and peace with God that produces that sort of joy that cannot be taken away or eroded by any external circumstance. See, spiritual joy is like complete assurance of God's power and love. That He's in control. He loves us and He saved us. And the very knowledge of Him and the fact that He has called us into His family is a tremendous source of peace. That we're not talking about a surface thing that changes when circumstances change, when your mood changes. It's inner, like the psalmist expresses here in Psalm 94. He says, in the multitude of anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Okay, so just bear in mind, as we talk about inner joy, we're not talking about external circumstances or what might be termed as happiness. Let's continue then to look in the Word of God. I want you to see what it says about having this joy of the Lord. We're going to start with the words of Yeshua. It's always the best place to start. And remember, we're going to look here at this and understand that this is God speaking. This is Yeshua actually speaking. And he's addressing this joy, his joy. Notice here, John 15, starting in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Now you got to really take everything in that he's saying here. He says, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Guys, there is so much here. I want to unpack this a little bit. Notice first that we abide in his love. How do we do that? How do we abide in his love? He says, by keeping his commandments. Abide here in the Greek means to be present in. It's a state. It's a condition of dwelling. And to be present in that. Okay? Commandments are God's teaching. It's his instructions for our good. You see, the flesh hates the word commandment. Hates it. Because we don't want anybody telling us what to do. But I submit to you, if Warren Buffett happened to show up this afternoon and he has a prescription, he has some commandments, he has an outline, a set of instructions, and he says, here, take $1,000 and I want you to write all this down. I want you to do this, 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 this. I got 10 things for you to do. Boom, 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 boom. I want you to do all 10 of these things, and in 5 years, you'll turn that $1,000 into $1,000,000. Would you listen? Would you write them down? Would you be real careful? You darn right you would. And would you think of those commandments as burdensome? No. You would bring them in and you would say, yeah, I want to follow those commandments because I want what's at the end. I desire what those commandments lead me to. They're not going to be burdensome. And you see, God has done the same thing. He has come and he says, here's a set of instructions and how you are to live. And guess what? This won't just get you $1,000,000 5 years from now. These instructions are a pathway. They're a leading to eternal life. What's eternal life worth? You see, you can't let the devil sour you on the word commandments because they are beautiful. They are good. They are perfect instruction to take us exactly where we want to go. What do those commandments do? See, they put you in alignment with God so that, as it says here, you can abide in him. You can dwell with him. You can associate with him. And what's this say? Yeshua kept the commandments. They came from the Father, and he keeps them, and then he brought them to us. Read 10 again. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. My love is embedded in those commandments. Just as I kept my Father's commandments, and I've abided in his love. You see, inside the commandments is the love of God. It's how we dwell in unison with Yeshua and the Father. Now notice then verse 11. He's saying that he gave us the commands, these instructions, this roadmap to eternity, if you will, from the Father so that what? So that we could have joy. And he says it's that same joy that he had. Look at verse 11 again. These things I have... Okay, what are these things? Well, he just said, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. He says, so these things I have spoken to you. Right? That my joy, the joy that Yeshua has in dwelling in unison with the Father and his commands, he wants you to have, that his joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. How can your joy be full? The same way that Yeshua's joy was full, because he fully abided in God. See, so you abide, you dwell, you live with and have internally the joy of the Lord by following God's instructions. And sometimes that path in this world brings sometimes very serious, very unwanted circumstances in this life. But we have to remember, this joy we're talking about isn't affected by external circumstances. The joy that Yeshua had in abiding with the Father took him all the way to the stake. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the stake, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, I guarantee you that day for Yeshua wasn't fun, but it was joyous. It was joyous. The joy of the Father was his strength. And he had that joy simply because he abided in and dwelt in his Father's will. He obeyed the Father. He simply followed his Father's commandments. He followed his Father's instructions. And in that was the joy that gave him the strength to endure the work that God set before him. And so what is set before us, same thing, is to abide in Yeshua, keep his commandments, the instructions that he got from the Father, that he's passed down, that he's given to us, to his people Israel. Right? Same thing. We need to jump back to John 15, though, and see what those instructions are. Look again at verse 12. Now, there's a lot of people that will point to this, and they'll say, okay, well, there's also a similar statement a couple of chapters earlier in chapter 13, very similar to this. And they support this doctrine that the Old Testament law is done away and that all that remains is this new law to just love one another. That's it. Just love one another. Now, in this group, we understand that's not the case. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself is what? It's a Hebrew idiom that just refers to the royal law, the Ten Commandments. Okay. Yeshua, all the apostles, they upheld the covenant law. Yes, even Paul. And even in this passage, if you look at it, Yeshua in verse 10 is clearly referring to all of the commandments, plural, not just one. Totally in line with his other comments that not one jot or one tittle will by any means pass from the law. But you have to understand the deceptive thinking of Satan in this. Because if you say, you know, everything is boiled down to just loving your neighbor, well, it's very deceptive. Because then it reverts right back on you and gives you the ability to decide what that love looks like. And so now you're right back to deciding good and evil again. Right? So if you don't have the law to tell you what that love looks like, what those instructions are, and you say, oh, well, you to go love. Well, okay, what's that mean? Now I get to decide what loving my neighbor looks like. Right? See, one thing that they overlook here, even in this passage, is that Yeshua said to love one another as I have loved you. He said that I had come and I have set an example that you should do the same. How exactly did Yeshua do that? How did he come and love? What did that look like? Well, look at verse 10. He kept his Father's commandments. He abided in his love, right? And so he says for us in that same verse to do the same thing. We're to keep his commandments. So see, it's full circle. If we are to love one another, we need the instructions from God how to do that. You know, to do that. Yes, I've referred over and over again that love is not a feeling. Love is a
verb.
That's right. It's action. It's doing. And so when you think about love as a verb, as an action, and then you read verse 10, God shows us the action of love. What is it? Keep the commandments. Right in front of you, right from the mouth of God Himself. Also, have you ever noticed that by reducing everything down to, you know, just love one another, that the first part of that Hebrew idiom is ignored? See, that idiom is to love the Lord your God with all heart, soul, and mind, verse 4, and then love your neighbor as yourself. When you just love your neighbor as yourself, you've completely eliminate the first four. Which I'm sure Satan feels is just hilarious, right? Satan doesn't seem to mind people focusing or thinking about the last six. Okay? They just don't want people worshiping the true God. And so in that, the first four are totally ignored. We're not to worship any gods, it says in the first commandment. Yet our yearly calendar rotates and is centered around holidays designed to worship other gods. We have idols and we have statues of the Virgin Mary and angels and crosses and paintings and all sorts of stuff that break the second commandment against idols. Shoot, the Catholics have so many of them, they just had to take a white out and just completely take the second commandment out. They have so many. And someone calls themselves a Christian and then ignores God's instructions. What are they doing? They're taking on the name of God in vain. It's why Yeshua said, "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the traditions of men." Because when you take on God's name, when you say I'm a Christian or I'm follow, you know, I'm saved, and then you ignore everything that He tells you to do, you're taking on His name and you're doing it in vain. The Sabbath is cast aside, is it not, on a weekly basis in favor of a worship day to the sun god. Where's the action of love in all of that? It's not there. You can't snub God's instructions, His revelation to you and how to walk with Him, and then expect to be able to abide in Him or dwell in His love. And in that love is His joy. So, right here in verse 11, He's saying to all of us to keep His commandments. And He said that so that your joy would be full. These things I've spoken to you, these commandments, that my joy would remain in you and that your joy would be full. So hopefully we're beginning at least to see where this inner joy comes from. For Yeshua, we have his example. Where did it come from for him? It came from following his Father's instructions. And then he tells us to do the same thing, to take what he's brought from the Father and follow it too. And it's in that walk of love when then we abide or dwell in it, and it produces the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Just like it was his strength to do what he came to do. Right? Okay. How do we get there? How do we do this? Where does this begin? Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so, think about that a minute. Fearing God means that we recognize his sovereignty. We come to realize the tremendous respect we should have for him, that in him and him alone is life. And when you get to that complete point, when you understand the complete humility with which we are to approach the throne, that right there is the beginning of knowledge. Why? Because it is only at that place, it is only when you are at that point that you cease trying to decide for yourself. And at that point, you're teachable. See, you're never teachable as long as you think you know or you think you have the right to decide from yourself. You'll never accept external teaching. You have to cease trying to decide for yourself and turn yourself over to him. And then, and only then, can you be taught. Can you be trained? Can you be molded? Otherwise, as this says, you're a fool because you despise wisdom and instruction. But once you embrace that, once you let go and your respect for God has risen high enough that you kneel and bow before it, when you hear that word commandment, doesn't go against your grain anymore. See, that doesn't make you cringe. Rather, what you hear is instruction. Oh, this is like secret. This is like a jewel. This is like a path that's going to lead me where I want to go. It's like Warren Buffett's 10 steps to $1 million. Right? It's not commandment anymore. This is, whoa, what is this? Right? It's precious knowledge to lead you to eternal life. Doesn't matter if it causes you temporary pain. You know what that temporary pain is? It's your will dying. That's what it is. It hurts. And then that will dies and we embrace God's will, and then circumstances start hitting us because we're trying to do it in an environment that's against it. And then we have to die a little more. See, for certain, guys, for certain, the fear, the respect for God enough to submit your will to his is the beginning of this joy. Because it's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of the instruction that then he says, as his commandments, we follow his commandments. So why? Our joy can be full. When you fear God, you needn't fear anything else. You have nothing else to fear. It's the basis of the joy of the Lord being our strength. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. Wow. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. See, when you release your own will and walk according to God's, even though we can't do it perfectly, Yeshua clothes us with His robe of righteousness, with the garment of salvation. And in that is assurance. See, when you release your will and you give it over to God's, then that assurance is not in you anymore. That is sure. It's in God. It's assurance in God's way and His will. And in that assurance is great joy. And it's a joy that you won't trade for something temporary in this life. This world, guys, is a mess. Ask yourself, what can you really, really rely on except for God and His ways? Is there anything of lasting, eternal value but God? Is it friends? No, they let us down from time to time. Is it family? We've seen countless examples of family turning their backs on people. Is it money? Well, it can stop coming in. I can attest to that. Right? You know, and it can lose its value too. You know, it says in the Bible that in the end days that people will be throwing their gold and silver in the streets. Money won't be worth a thing. You can't count on that. Can you count on youth? No. You know, might seem like, you know, well, I'll be young forever, but you're not. It fades away too, just like your health, everything else in this world. So all of us have to come to that same conclusion, that the only one who never leaves us or forsakes us is God. Our faith in Him is precious. There is nothing too grievous that we have done that is too far for His mighty arm to reach. Our Heavenly Father's loving arm will always reach down and pull you back to Him. Truly, guys, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It should excite us with thankfulness that we even know there is a God, a Heavenly Father, and He gave His only Son. You know, as I was praying, have you ever sat and thought about that? That, think about, here's a God that can create something that can create something. You ever thought about creating something and then emptying yourself enough to step into it, to exist within what you made? It's almost unfathomable. That's what God did. This whole physical thing, He made up. He's outside of it. And He said, okay, I love it so much, I'm gonna go in that. And I'm gonna subject myself to what I made and die a horrible death in the process. Why? Because He loves us that much. I don't know how you put words to it. And that knowledge should humble us, that He has done that, that He has called us at this point, that the fact that He sets in front of us the opportunity to be a first fruit, to be resurrected in the first resurrection, it's an amazing calling. It's an amazing opportunity. And do we think about this? Do we meditate on this? Do we mentally appreciate what it is that God has set before us? Do we continually praise God for His mercy? Do we abide? Do we dwell in that joy? See, this life should be filled with thanksgiving and the joy that God gives. And He gives it by lovingly revealing how to walk with Him. That's how He did it. He said, this is the way, walk ye in it. Do that because I love you. Do that because it's the way. We walk according to His ways and our joy is full. Not my words, Yeshua's words. You know, I give you these things so that your joy will be full. And in that joy is the inner strength that we're talking about. I want to look a little further about what the Bible says about this joy. Psalm 47 verse 1 says, clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Proverbs 10, the prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hopes of the wicked come to nothing. James 1 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Count it joy when you fall into trials. See, the Bible, again, is talking about a joy that transcends circumstance, that transcends physical limitations. This is the joy of the indwelling of God's holy and perfect Spirit. If we don't have that joy, then we would be so very blessed to receive it. We need to search it out. We need to be asking God who gives it wholeheartedly. Because when we ask and we seek and we knock, as it says, He gives liberally. This is the joy of the Lord, a joy that you can only know when connected to the source, our Heavenly Father through His Son. As Yeshua said, we abide in Him as He abides in the Father. The strength that He had from the Father allowed Him to overcome Satan. You get that? You know, when we think about what Yeshua did, where did He get the strength to do that? It's because He was following His Father's commandments. He was completely successful in what He came to do because He was completely subject to what the Father told Him to do. And in the same way, we can have the same strength when we are completely subjected to the Son. And that doesn't mean that trials are easy and that we'll always prevail, but it does mean that God is always in our corner rooting for us. When God is your strength, He lifts you up through trials, through the sorrows, through the losses and all that, and gives us exactly what is needed when it is needed, to not only get through it, but be strong, to have courage in the face of the fears, in the midst of the storms of life. Read this in 1 Peter. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Inexpressible and glorious joy. The end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Those are some powerful words. So we have not seen Yeshua, right? But when we love Him, how do we love Him? By following Him. It's a verb. It shows that we have His testimony, that we really believe Him. And that belief is expressed how? In honoring His commandments, honoring His instructions, following Him. And this is what leads then to the inexpressible and glorious joy and the salvation of our soul. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Don't have it? Want more of it? Well, just remember where it starts. The fear or respect for God and His sovereignty. And so, always go back to that point, to that humility, and ask. John 16 says, "Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." So I ask myself, well, what do I ask for? Well, what have we covered so far? Think with me, logically. If the joy of the Lord comes as a result of walking with and abiding in God's love, as we saw, the action of loving God is keeping His commandments, then it stands to reason that if you want more and deeper joy, then you want more and deeper understanding of His instructions. And more of God's Spirit for the power to walk in them and to engage them. Do you think maybe that's why Yeshua said to pray, "Thy will be done"? See, that isn't just for us to pray for the world. That is to pray for us. To say, "God, your will be done in my life. Help me understand what your will is. Help, if I want deeper joy, and that joy comes from walking with God and honoring and keeping His commandments, if I want more of that joy, then I want more of His instructions. I want a more and I want a deeper understanding of what those instructions mean. I want more power to walk in them. And the more of that I get, then the more joy I will have. Ask and you'll receive, and your joy will be complete." People say they want to know God's will for their lives. "God, I want your will in my life." They come and say, "God, Scott, how can I know God's will for my life?" Well, He's revealed a ton of it already in His Word about His will. He's already said, "This is the way, walk ye in it. This is my will for you." It's called the Torah. But people want to ignore the front of the book. They don't want to have anything to do with it. And so they just keep praying, "God, show me your will." Well, God hears the prayer. And He says, "Hey, why don't you start with what I've already shown you? You want me to show you my will? Well, I've already shown you. Why don't you start with that? You get that down, and then maybe we'll talk. I'll show you a little more." And when you pray for God's will, read your Bible. Read His instructions. Get a testimony of His ways in your heart. And as you honor what God has already revealed as His will, He will expand it further. Ask and you'll receive, that your joy will be complete. Our joy is complete and full when we completely and fully understand God's will, His instructions, His commandments, and fully subject ourselves to Him. You want your joy to be full? Then your obedience needs to be full, and your joy will come. Psalm 119:11 says, "Your statutes," read commandments, read instructions, read roadmap, whatever you want to put there, but what God says, what His instructions are, it says, "Your statutes are my heritage forever." What are they? The joy of my heart. They are the joy of my heart. Embedded in God's instructions are life, peace, and joy. In them is our salvation and our strength. Your Bible is full of scriptures extolling the joy of the Lord. And so now that we've kind of seen what the source of that joy is, let's look at some of them. Psalm 95 says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us," excuse me, "let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms." Psalm 30, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." What's this pointing to? See, the more we have an eternal perspective in this life, the more joy we will have, because our focus will be beyond this life. Our focus will be on the instructions, the path, and everything that leads us to that eternal life. That was Yeshua's perspective. That's what pushed him through. He wasn't looking at what was happening right then. He was looking for at the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. See, just like we need to trust our commands, our instructions, to get us to what is to come later. Romans 15. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." What? Believing what? Believing Christ. Believing what he said. Not just who he is, but what he said. Believing what he taught. Why? "That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, you might be thinking of others about joy. There might be others that come to mind. There's a ton more. There isn't a shortage of encouragement in God's Word. One more scripture, and then we'll tie this up. Psalm 16:11. I want you to look at this closely, based on what we've already talked about. It says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And having God show us the real path of life is the path to real joy and lasting joy. Do you see how this ties in with John 15? Are you noticing that at all? Because see, to paraphrase John 15, what did he say? Yeshua said, "Keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, and your joy will be full." Not what he said? Don't we see the same thing here? How does God show us the path of life? His commandments, his instructions. Then he says, "In your presence." Isn't that the same thing as abiding? Just like what Yeshua said in John 15? It literally is the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. Abiding means presence. It's to be present, to be in that state, right? It's literally the same thing. So once again, the fullness of joy, as it says here, comes from what? Abiding, or being in the presence of God. And that comes from what? The path of life. God's commandments. He shows us the path of life. Same thing. Guys, the front of the book always matches the back of the book. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That joy comes first from recognizing God as God. Then as we honor that understanding with seeking out and following his instructions, wanting his will in our lives, it's how we do the verb of love, by responding to the love that he first showed us. Knowing then the surety of that path and the destiny that it leads us to, we find great peace. We find joy in knowing that if God is for us, Nothing can come against us. And that is this inner strength and courage that I'm talking about. And that is something that no set of circumstances can take away from you. As we move further and further into these end times, that assurance, that joy will become more and more important. Especially when you consider your end times might be on your ride home from this service today. So there is no better time than the present time to seek the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Guys, submit to Him. Let Him be your teacher, your guide, and your master. Love Him by following Him. Right? And your joy, your strength will be full. Amen?
Amen.